With a vision to rebuild, renew, and restore hearts and homes in the urban community, Urban Life Family Media presents Fruitful Living with Chris and Carol Green. Fruitful Living is the podcast outreach of Urban Life Family Center, an inner healing ministry that has been changing lives in South Central Pennsylvania since September of 2004. For the next few minutes, we're going to bring you into our weekly session from the family prayer room, where you can experience the word that is producing fruitful living.
Not only has he been teaching and telling us and preparing us for this all along, but I'm recognizing that when Jesus talked about the end times and the great falling away, we are living in that right now. And I know that there are many of us that are getting discouraged. Many of us pastors are getting discouraged because our churches are getting smaller and people are leaving. Many of them are experiencing that. And the Lord just kind of comforted me. He said, how could it be a word of comfort? He said, because in the time of harvest, remember the parable of the field, the guy who owned the field, and he sold in that field, but then the enemy afterwards came and sold in tares. And the workers, when they discovered that all these tares are basically weeds had been sown in amongst the wheat, they wanted to go and pull up the tares. And he said, no, because if you do that, you're going to pull up the good with the old. But wait until harvest. At harvest time, we'll be able to get rid of all of the weeds. We are in a harvest season in America right now. And the first thing that's happening is God is getting rid of the tares. And what's so discouraging to us as we're looking at God removing the tares is that I understand I'm not an agricultural person, but I understand tares and wheat look the same.
In fact, I did the study on this, on that particular scripture. Wheat and tares do look exactly alike. You can't tell the difference. It looks like wheat. It just doesn't have the same fruit. And that's why they waited until harvest to separate the wheat from the tare.
And so since it all looks the same, there have been people that we've been crediting them as being believers, as being on fire for God, as being really dedicated. But here in this season, we're seeing people that we always thought were true and committed. And they're if anybody's going into the kingdom, certainly this brother and this sister. And now here in this time of harvest, we're watching people fade out and disappear. And so rather than get discouraged by what we are observing, I'm saying be encouraged, because God told us it would be this way. In the time of harvest, there will be a time of distinction. I'm not saying that everybody that's leaving was a tear, but there are many. They were just tears. Some people that are leaving churches, they're leaving because they are discovering that this group that I've been gathered with really isn't for God. And so they are leaving and they're trying to find the real. They are desperately trying to find where is the believers? Where are the people that really just love God? I remember growing as part of my growing up season in the Lord, many of the songs, you know, we lost Andre Crouch a couple, just going back listening to some of those old songs, I just began to weep, not because of his death, but because looking at how far we've come from the types of songs that were written to what we have today. You know, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. We're a long ways from songs like that. We had a dear friend back in the 70s. She was in the singing group that we were in college. And I remember this song that she wrote said, "I've lived, I've loved, and I've known what it means to be free." Just in the part of the lyrics, I think the opening lyrics were, "In this world, my name may never be mentioned. I may never reach the Hall of Fame. But to reach so many goals have been my intention. But if I don't, one fact remains. I've lived, I've loved, and I've known what it means to be free because Jesus gave those things to me." That was back in the 70s. We used to sing like that. The church used to write music like that. And it was because singers and songwriters tend to write music that echoes whatever their preacher, whatever their pastor is preaching, whatever word is coming forth. Then the musicians and singers and songwriters will then take it and they will echo the word. So I don't necessarily blame the artist and the music that we hear coming forth. They're simply echoing what they're being taught and what they're hearing. You can tell immediately what a musician is hearing by what they're writing. And so listening to those old songs that Andre Crouch, all those old songs, God, I just begin to weep. Like, Lord, we actually used to, I remember the song we wrote called "Tell Them." Even if they don't believe you, tell them. Even if they don't receive you, tell them for me. Tell them that I love them. And I came to let them know. See, that's what God, I believe, is taking us back to. He's taking us back to that. That my life is not dear to myself. That I really am not my own. I've been bought with a price. And so when we, as we are living our lives, then our gathering, as we're living this way, then our gathering has far more meaning than just come to get pumped up. I don't believe God intended for our Sunday gatherings or whatever day or night of the week that a church family may gather. I don't believe he intended it to just be a pep rally. That's right. Give me a J. Give me a E. Give me a S. No, he didn't intend for this to just be a pep rally. Now in high school, this takes me back to high school. I went to many pep rallies, and in my school, we happened to have a great football team. And so when we had pep rallies, it had a lot of meaning because we knew we were going to win. I mean, we had a state championship football team. They went to the state championship 3 of the 4 years I was in high school. So when we went to pep rallies, it was very meaningful because we knew we were going to win. But it made me think about all those other schools whose teams had records like 2 wins and 9 losses, and they were having pep rallies. But their pep rallies was more like, this is just a fun time together because we know our team is going to be wiped out. Therefore, the meaning of a pep rally, whether you've got a great winning team or a team that hardly ever wins, the real meaning of the pep rally is just a time for us to get hyped up and for me to feel good about myself and our school up until we face reality. And for many years, the church has become that. We've become just a pep rally because we all know that come tomorrow morning, Monday morning, or not even tomorrow morning, as soon as we leave this house, this building, and we're in the car on our way back home, we go right back to reality. And the so-and-so, did you hear that message? Did you see what they was wearing? Did you see those young people and how they was dressed when they came to church today? We just go right back to the same. And my boss, and I just can't. Oh, I hate Sunday nights because I got to get ready to get for these people at this job tomorrow. Oh, my God. And that was following the great rally. And coming right out of the rally, we go back into the game and we don't do anything that we rallied about and we felt so good about. And I don't, you know, this is just me speaking personally. I'm not interested in that.
At Urban Life Family Center, we minister in an informal family atmosphere that includes worship, prayer, sharing, and healing. But it's all done in a style and format that uniquely ministers to people in a personal way. From our Sunday prayer and healing sessions to our home church gatherings, everything we do is designed to equip and prepare you to do the work of the ministry. Until next time, remember, God wants to use you to rebuild, restore, and renew hearts and homes in this community. He wants to do it through your fruitful living.